Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Context Machine, episode number 704. I am, get ready for this, Brian Chapman.
I'm glad I was sitting down because I was not ready for that.
Who could be?
That is fair. That is fair. Also, I was actually slightly startled when you started talking. It's like, oh, my God, this is Brian. We're doing a show.
Yeah, surprise.
Surprise. Oh, yeah. And I'm Jeff Gamet, the guy that was surprised when Brian started the show right after he told me he was starting the show. Yeah. Hey, we have an online presence. It's our home, our digital realm, contextmachine.io.
Oh, my goodness. That is so cool. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky. contextmachine.bsky.social.
Yes. And Brian, we have a sponsor today, which is super exciting. Our sponsor is Framer.
We will tell you more about them later in the show. But first, Jeff.
Brian.
Tim Cook basically came out and said to me, directly to me, what's up with that?
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the bottom line, Brian. You sat here and told us all about Tim Cook's potential retirement strategy.
Yeah.
And then just to spite you, he canceled everything before it was announced.
Right. He says that he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he says that he can't imagine life without Apple. That's a quote.
Right. So I think it's funny that this took place roughly, it was less than a week after I went on record saying, no, I finally believe that he's going to go ahead and retire this year. it's just funny.
It is. And I don't know. It just seems appropriate, the timing for him to say this, because, I mean, clearly, it can only mean that that he listens to Context Machine, and
as he should,
takes what we say very seriously, but not because he's like, oh yeah, I should do that thing, but so that he knows what to do just to screw with you specifically.
Yeah, he's got to keep his finger on the pulse. Anyway, he told ABC's Good Morning America, this is according to a CNBC report covering what Tim said on ABC. He said, basically, retirement talk is nothing more than a rumor. Quote, no, I didn't say that. I haven't said that. I love what I do deeply. 28 years ago, I walked into Apple and I've loved every day since. He added that he, quote, can't imagine life without Apple. So it doesn't seem like Tim is going to retire. I'm back to thinking he's not going to retire this year.
Welcome to my world, Brian.
Yeah, because I feel like Tim probably, because we've talked about this so many times over the years, that Tim is the most careful speaker in the tech space. Every word that comes out of his mouth is considered, probably planned, but at the very least, it's considered in real time. At the very least.
Yes, he's a very measured speaker.
Unlike, say, Sam Altman, who is a jackanapes.
Yeah, bless his little stone heart.
Yeah.
Sam Altman, Elon Musk. We could go down the list. There's a lot of guys in the tech space that could learn a lot from how to communicate from Tim Cook.
Yeah, well, could learn how to communicate, and not that Tim Cook is perfect, and he has made many, many mistakes in just the last year and a half. In terms of kowtowing, and he has long been a kowtower to the Chinese government, and I hate both of those things. but there is a lot that he does that is fantastic. And yeah, there's a lot that a lot of people could learn from him. But my point is that he is such a careful speaker, and everything that he says is either planned or considered. And I feel like he probably would have said something like, you know, as you know, my company, you know, or the board of directors has an excellent succession plan in place. And of course there will come a time when I want to, you know, he would say something about if he was going to retire, he would, instead of saying, no, I love every moment at Apple, he would be saying something like, yeah, of there will come a day, at least, which I want to step aside, but today is not that day. And, we're not announcing anything. I feel like that's what he would say.
Yeah. I think you're right. That's much more Tim style.
Right. It is much more Tim style. And, so I will also bring this back to the idea that he wants to do something big before he goes, something else big before he goes. And so now I'm wondering what that, because that assessment hasn't changed in my mind.
I'm with you. I'm wondering what the big thing is. Yeah. Is it a new product or is it just freaking fixing Siri?
I don't think fixing Siri is big enough to keep him around, let alone to
let Apple's him. Current. I get what you're saying, but expand that out beyond Siri. Apple's current state of AI, while they are nailing it in many aspects, from the public's perspective, they're failing because they don't have the generative LLM thing nailed down.
Well, but neither does anyone else. Despite popular opinion, I don't think anyone has generative LLMs nailed.
Well, no, and they can't because the current state of technology for LLMs, this is going to sound negative, but I don't mean it in a negative way. It's garbage.
Yeah.
And it's garbage because we are still in a pre-alpha development state for what this technology can do. And what we have today in the generative space is it's bad, and it's going to get torn down and rebuilt into something else that's much better at some point.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't think that Siri or Gemini or any kind of improvement to Siri or any kind of integration with another LLM to make Siri better. I don't think that's the thing that's keeping him around, or that would I don't think that's the thing that when it's done he would be able to say, okay, I'm done here.
Yep, I get what you're saying.
I think it's something like at the like same Apple time, Car, which is not happening anymore, for sure. But Apple Car or something at that level in terms of a new product is what it would take for him to be able to let go.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do think the whole AI thing is something that he wants to manage in a way so that we don't have the optics of, oh, well, Tim's leaving and their AI, their state of AI really sucks. Therefore, Tim, that's why Tim's leaving. Better way for me to say this, no matter when Tim leaves, he's going to make sure that the state of AI doesn't, appear as if that's part of his motivation.
That is, I agreed. I very much agree.
Took me a little bit of work to get to that point.
So let's move on to the little finder guy.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, okay. Brian, first off, you have no idea how delighted I am that I got to introduce you to little finder guy.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Tell us about this guy.
Okay. So for those of you that don't know who Lil Finder Guy is, I am so delighted that I get to introduce you to this as well. So Apple's been doing some really clever ads on TikTok. And in one of the MacBook Neo ads, there's this little Finder face character that looks like a little cushy squeeze toy sort of thing, but it's this animated character that's sitting at tiny little table next to a Neo, and has his tiny or its tiny little MacBook Neo in front of it that its arms aren't even long enough to reach, and it has no hand so it can't type, and has like a little cup of matcha with it too. And that just started this whole thing with this painfully adorable little character.
Yeah, definitely, and painfully adorable. It's so cute.
Oh, I want a little finder guy for my desk. People, this is now all of your life goals. Find me a little finder guy for my desk, please. But people are doing things like doing 3D renders of little finder guy, making desktop patterns.
Yeah, that you showed me a blog entry from the Basic Apple Guy at basicappleguy.com. In his blog post, he has a bunch of Gemini renders of the little finder guy, and those are great. And yeah, I will one up you though. Yeah, I want a little finder guy on my desk, but I also want an animated little finder guy on my desktop, like sort of like Clippy, but infinitely better, and one who just sort of hanging out cavorting on my desktop.
Oh, Brian, I'm going to take this to a whole new level for you. How about little finder guy replaces your mouse cursor? So as you move it, he runs. And when you click on something, he pushes on whatever you're clicking on for you. So it's like this totally animated, adorable little guy all around your desk. Oh, I want this, people.
Yes.
Hack this for me so that I can turn my mouse into a little finder guy.
With agentic programming, it should be super easy. Someone, you know, make that happen, please.
Yes. Yes.
Fine. I can do it myself. But do it for me.
But you don't want to take the joy from other people.
Right. Right. Pure magnanimity. Pure
electromagnetism.
Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, little finder guy is super cute. I hope that Apple does more with this. And I hope that Apple actually releases a little sort of not a plushie. Plushies are furry, right?
Plushies are furry. Yeah, you want squishy.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually apple.com. I wonder if they've done that already.
I'm sure they haven't.
We didn't look, did we?
No, but that's how good we are. We don't have to look to know. Hey, I'm going to make sure that there's a link in our show notes to the Basic Apple Guy post about little finder guy and the 512 pixels post, because James Thompson, PCalc, for those of you that want to keep it all straight, James did some 5K desktop renders,
right,
of just like piles of little finder guy, and so they're actually available on Stephen Hackett's website, 512 pixels.
I feel like Apple could make a few million bucks in instant profit.
Absolutely.
By releasing
this thing. They would have a harder time keeping this in stock than iPhones.
Yes. That's true. All right. I'm going to tell you about the Framer. What do you think about that?
I think that would be fracking awesome.
Right. Framer is an enterprise-grade no-code website builder used by teams at companies like Perplexity and Miro to move faster. It gives designers and marketers the ability to fully own your .com without relying on engineers. With real-time collaboration, a flexible CMS with everything you need for SEO, and hosting and security ready for scale, Framer makes it possible to design, ship, and manage high-quality enterprise sites. So you know that moment when marketing wants a landing page? Design mocks it up and engineering says, yeah, we'll get to it, right? Thousands of businesses from early stage startups to Fortune 500s are choosing to build their website in Framer, where changes take minutes instead of days to solve this very problem. Changes to your Framer site go live to the web in seconds with one click, publish, without help from engineering, helping your team reduce dependencies and reach escape velocity. So learn how you can get more out of your .com from a Framer specialist or get started building for free today at framer.com/TCM for 30% off a Framer Pro annual plan. That's framer.com/TCM, lowercase TCM, for 30% off. And then one more time, because I'm just that kind of guy, framer.com/TCM, lowercase, rules and restrictions may apply. We appreciate Framer for sponsoring us.
We do. And Brian, I'm glad you said that a third time so that I could finish all my notes about framer.com.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Right. So Apple announced, Apple's been doing a lot of product announcements. They've announced AirPods Max Pro, AirPods Max 2. Right. Yeah. So something like that. This is the second generation of the now several years old, AirPods Max. I do have the originals and I still love them.
Mm-hmm.
I am very interested in the new ones, but I'm probably not going to get them because my AirPods Max, my original ones are still quite good. And, not made of money anymore.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you're not my sugar daddy anymore?
Nope, I'm not. And the irony is that I think that you've gone from not being interested in these things to being interested in them.
Well, okay, it's not that I haven't been interested, although I can see why you'd think that I haven't been interested in AirPods Max, because everyone, I hope you're sitting down. I have never put AirPods Max on and tried them out, ever.
Well, that's because we don't, other than when we're in the recording booth, facing each other through a glass wall, we're not close enough for you to have been able to use mine.
That's true, but I could go to an Apple store. I could
Have you been to an Apple store?
That I have a friend.
Since the AirPods Max were announced. The original.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah.
You didn't put them on your ears?
No. I have just walked right by the display single time.
Then I'm going to go back to you're not interested in them. You haven't been interested in them.
It's I've been curious, but clearly not interested enough to actually do anything about it. But for some reason, and honestly, I think it's because because the new model is out, so it's in the front of my mind now. I'm interested in going and hearing how AirPods Max 2 sound. The H2 chip, that's interesting to me, although I'm more interested in that as part of AirPods Pro because to me, that's where it would be much more useful for me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Nonetheless, the AirPods Max 2, I'm interested in hearing how they sound. Mostly, though, I want to plug these into one of my DACs and see how these compare as like a quality audio headset to other things that I have.
Like AirPods Pro or headphones or speakers? What do you want to compare to?
Wired headphones and wired speakers. As soon as it goes wireless, then it doesn't matter anymore because you can't use a DAC.
Right.
And once you're wireless, and you're getting other compression in it. And but yeah, I want to start plugging in wires, plugging in DACs, and listening to these and seeing how they perform for me. So yeah, I'm finally interested enough that I may actually do something crazy, like go listen to them.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, okay. I feel like you should take a second out to tell us why the H2 chip, why you're so interested in it.
The H2 chip, for me, most interesting feature is the voice isolation. And so that it's easier to hear when you're on a call with someone in a space where there's a lot of noise. So it's easier for whoever I'm talking to hear me and for me to hear them on a call.
You could just turn down your coffee time soundtrack.
Don't be bringing me down, man. Just know. The adaptive audio, that's kind of cool. So it figures out how to adjust the volume level based on my listening habits. I mean, that's kind of cool, but you know, if I'm listening to classical and I want that a little quieter than if I'm listening to David Byrne, then it can figure that out. That's kind of cool. When you're wireless, you have lower audio latency as well.
Right.
So, okay, I mean, there's enough. A bunch of other things it does, but those are the things that interest me most.
Well, I have always, so for what it's worth, this is definitely a for what it's worth comment. I've always, the thing that I've liked about my AirPods Max has been the over the ear experience and the sheer comfort of having those pads over my ears.
Yeah.
Because that is a much preferred listening experience to me, in particular if I'm writing out in public, but also if I'm listening to music or something, or even around the house, I like having that comfort of the over the ear experience.
I totally get it. And I'm a big fan of the over the ear experience, like the full encompass my ears, totally covered, not just on the ears.
Right.
Yeah.
And Apple's sound quality is excellent. I don't, I haven't tried to put my AirPods Max through any kind of scientific tests where I am actually measuring in some way the sound output, but the sound output is at the very least relatively excellent, in my opinion.
Well, and as well it should be. I mean, first off, you're paying over $500 for these.
Yeah.
So there's an expectation for audio quality, but Apple does have a history of wanting to offer higher quality audio.
Right. And they claim that there's reduced wireless audio latency for gaming in particular. I haven't tested that either in the originals for what that's worth. Huh. Interesting. All right. Anyway, this thing is live. It's available now. It's still the same price, $549. I'm assuming that means that if it could be that it's available already, you know, on Apple's Refurb store, the originals, at a reduced price.
But they come and go.
Yeah, and if not, there will probably be more of them coming, because I'm sure that Apple is going to be wanting to be reducing any remaining inventory that they have of those things. And there should probably be some specials on them on Amazon and other retailers for the originals. And I don't see anything in the AirPods Max 2 that should make most people who own the AirPods Max feel the need to upgrade. But if you've been sitting on the side, maybe you should consider it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I have a question about your AirPods Max.
Yeah.
Have you ever used them with a wired connection?
No, I don't even, can you even do that?
Yeah. So you have the originals.
Yeah. I have the first generation of the originals.
Okay, so yours uses lightning.
Yes.
Connector as opposed to USB-C. You can plug in with that, and or I think you could use audio cable as well. I can't remember for sure.
There's no 1/8-inch port on these.
Okay. So then you use the lightning cable, you plug into an audio source with that, and then you should be able to get 24-bit 48 kilohertz.
Okay.
Lossless audio connection. So
if I've used that, I haven't noted. I don't think I've ever actually done that. So, but continue with your question.
Well, that was my question. Have you done that?
Nope.
And the follow up would have been, if you have, did you notice an audio quality difference? Of course, it would also matter how the audio files have been rendered. So,
yeah,
are you even listening to 24-bit, 48 kilohertz lossless audio?
I listen to lossless audio whenever possible, for what that's worth.
Same.
Yep. Yay, us. Yay. Yay, us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else's reports on the audio quality using a wired connection with these.
Right. Please.
I dish out so much homework.
You're a taskmaster that way.
I am.
Right. Right.
I'm harsh, but fair. I'm harsh.
Yeah, that's.
I'm harsh.
Fair. And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. We're even going to start checking that. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's all for this week, except for the thing where Jeff says...
The thing where I say, hey, everyone... Thank you to Framer for being our sponsor. Go check out their website, please. Also, I'm going to be at Max Stock,
yes,
10, and I'm speaking. So early bird pricing is still available. So go sign up. It's July 10th, 11th, and 12th. Or there's an add-on package for the 9th. Ecamm is doing a day-long workshop. So if you want to have hands-on learning for Ecamm, there's a day for that. I'm doing a workshop. I'm going to teach you how to take your art, get it into your iPad or your Mac, and work with what you created by hand digitally.
And
it's going to be so much fun.
There will be, if I'm not mistaken, there will be a Mac stock sort of digital pass after the fact that will allow people to watch yours and other of the courses.
Yes. Yep. They always offer a digital pass. So, yep, it's just that. After the event wraps up, they finish whatever edits and rendering they need to do. And then digital pass holders get access to all the videos. If you go in person, you also get access to the digital recordings.
Right. Excellent. Yay. Yay. Yes. On that note. Done and dusted.
Awesome.